The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. It's nice to do the stupa ceremony for Reverend Master, even though it was a little brisk out there. It's a wonderful ceremony. I enjoy it very much. It brings her light, it brings her alive like a living memory that just I appreciate very much. So today is May the 5th, and I'm going to talk about our Buddhist practice, that's the context, and how we can look at dissolving our limits that arise in daily life, or obstacles. This is assuming that we're not looking for obstacles to be dissolved so we can get our way, which is what I think is the default. But it's more that how can we dissolve obstacles in light of our efforts to do our Buddhist practice? So these were some thoughts that I had. The Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths, as we all know, which is suffering exists, the cause of suffering, cessation of suffering, and the Noble Eightfold Path. And the underlying goal or goallessness inherent in that is that he was pointing us to a way that we could all be free and liberated from our suffering. And I say to myself, wouldn't that be nice? And what is it that keeps us from being liberated? And this is all in the context of walking on the Buddhist path. From our familiar forms of greed, hatred, and delusion that manifests in themselves, if we don't think in that, those three ways, is anger, you know, frustration, envy, sadness, grief, ill will. You can go, the list can just go on and on and on. And I think we have our own personal, familiar lists that we're very close to in a certain kind of way. So, in the world, oftentimes what we think is the solution is to turn away, run away, get out of here, leave, think about taking a vacation, when we are faced with things that really cause us a lot of suffering. And this is the way of the world, and it's the way it's structured. It's amazing to me the unlimited opportunities to be distracted. It's not enough to have a brain that is kind of in distraction mode, but there's a lot of outside things that kind of help us with that distraction. And that's a tough situation that we all have to deal with. Maybe more so, you know, you all out in the world with us, but we all of us still have what we have, and that is our own brains. Churning away, doing what the brains do. You know, which is coming up with things nonstop all the time in kind of density that it's kind of hard to comprehend how to put, invite or even entertain the thought that there may be something else besides our brains chattering away. And as a lot of us know, it is not the Buddha's way to turn away from that which is difficult to bear. So in other words, not to give into so much into our distractions, but more to take our pains and our sufferings as the fertile ground for opening the door or dissolving obstacles, which seems like it doesn't make sense. But this is what the Buddha taught. And he didn't just teach it as some kind of band-aid approach, but this is the way that we become liberated. This is also very difficult to do. Sometimes really very uncomfortable to do if we're not used to doing it. Because if you have a pain or say an agony of some kind that arises, then what's there to do? But it seems like the natural thing is to get out of there, flee. But within our minds that these things arise, I'm not talking about physical harm or, you know, harmful situations where you really do need to get away because you're going to get hurt. But this is the mind. I'm talking about the mind. What the Buddha has asked us to do is to look and see what is going on with us. Not to look anywhere else. And this is where the solution is to our suffering. To sit still, as many of us have heard a lot, very, very many times. Sometimes I thought of this analogy that sometimes you think, or I had a thought, I feel like sometimes I'm being asked to swallow an ice cube, which is hard to do, yes? If not, impossible. It's too big. I can't swallow it. And I think, well, how am I going to do this? Can I do this? I don't want to do this. This is ridiculous. Why would I want to do this? But the ice cube is kind of the situations we get ourselves in sometimes because we give in to what our minds are fabricating. But the Buddha's teaching that there's something more, there's another way to do this. And what I came up with is a thought about, where is it? If you were going to go on a trip, and you always wanted to go to see the pyramids in Egypt. And there you are standing in Egypt, and you see these pyramids that you have wanted to look at for a very, very long time. And they make you feel like you're about that small because they're so big. They're huge. And so you're wandering around realizing that there's the scale of it is huge. And then you're wandering around and you're going through, and there's a sphinx there, as a lot of people know. And they've discovered a sphinx temple. So you're wandering around, and you came there not just to see the pyramids, but also at the summer solstice. There's a particular phenomenon that occurs, and that is if you're standing at the sphinx temple, there's a point that you can stand in the temple and look at the two pyramids. And the sun rises exactly in the middle of the two pyramids. Awesome. For me, that would be awesome. And it's the sun, the pyramids, and then yourself. Little tiny thing, you know, kind of inconsequential. But it opens your mind. It would open my mind at that particular moment in a really big way. It's not only an ancient civilization that created these amazing pyramids, but they created with the cosmos in mind too, like this architecture that it's like on a scale of the universe, cosmology. This would be something that would be really neat for me. And I would realize that my connection with myself would be a lot more encompassing than just this little me standing in front of the temple. I find that in that situation that it would be a way of allowing myself to realize that there's something more to me than what I think of as me. It seems to me what we often do is we get so focused or absorbed in creating a me that we often lose sight of other things, a lot of other things, including other people, other situations, and also we lose the sight of giving ourselves an opportunity to look at things differently. Some ways that we can help ourselves to not be so absorbed in this me or what's going on, the chatter in our mind, is to do things like take a breath. Yeah. That creates the space that is of the universe. Or the ceremonies. There's something about having a some kind of movement, beneficial movement that can help us, or helps me, helps my body just kind of break that mold of a me, especially if I'm really kind of latched onto something. Or if I'm suffering a lot, if I'm in a lot of pain, that's when the me is very, very in the ascendancy and also hurts a lot. So if you're angry, say, the anger comes from a focus that is admirable. I'll say that. Because it's focused on one thing, and that is that angry response. You're trying to make sense out of something. Or frustration, or grief. There's just a, you know, it's different kinds of situations and different emotions that we focus on. It's 100%. It's impressive. And what happens with that? It's not bad. These things arise. We are normal people. But the root cause, what happens with the hurt and the grief, is that if you look at it carefully, underneath that is fear. Take anger. You know, for me, when I see anger, I know there's a hurt there. And then if I look a little bit longer, and this is not with a critical mind, but just looking as a way of investigating things, what's going on here, I see there's fear. And that can be even from mindlessness, you know, the distraction, you know, the normal distractions. In the grief, grief could be fear of being alone. Anger could be fear of just, again, like maybe being too alone, you know, that loneliness. And I find that a very interesting thing because for me that takes it out of a certain level. If we have these emotions that come up, the thing that we're afraid of is the thing that doesn't actually exist. Because what we're really, really looking for is to know that within us exists something that is loving, is kind, is universal, is boundless, isn't limiting. We already have that. This is what the Buddha taught. So to me, this idea of liberation is more than being liberated from our anger, or liberating from our griefs, or liberating from our delusion. It is more of an acceptance, a more of, this is what's happening, and I'm looking for something that I already have. I guess the question is, can we accept it? Do we believe it? No. We have the opportunity in this very moment is the only place that we can find liberation from our fears. In this moment is when we have that time to do what we want to do. And that is to look at ourselves, to see what's going on, and then to find a way to move through that that actually helps us out. Or not. Maybe to sit still. But it is this moment. We need to be grounded in the moment in order to find that which has locked us up. Because it is our bodies that hold heavy. If you've ever noticed when you get angry or upset, your body holds a certain amount of tension. Where else are you going to find liberation except for right here in our bodies? You know, that's where we hold this stuff. Our bodies and minds are in harmony in a certain way. They if you're angry, you know, we all know this. If you're worried, your stomach can hurt. If you're, I don't know. If you're angry, you can be, you know, all tensed up, ready to fight. This is stuff that we have learned from just being human. It's the way we have survived for many, many years. And now the Buddha's teaching is to do something that is different than that. To look at this stuff, not to turn away. When I was in the library the other day, I thought to myself, and then I walked out and I was just walking around. I said, gateless barrier. I said, huh, that's an intriguing idea. So I thought to myself, did I just make that up? And I didn't. There's a book called The Gateless Barrier. I didn't look at it, but I just, there was something. I wanted to know. It's a pretty famous book, but anyway. And I said to myself, well, if a barrier is gateless, it may sound like there's no way to dissolve or loosen the barrier. In other words, how can we find a gate through the barrier that's gateless? Well, we can, according to the Buddha. The barrier is what arises in our minds. That cannot be changed. What we can do is take what comes our way is an opportunity to look at another way of seeing, an expanded view that includes whatever is going on with us and also the whole of the universe, unlimited, boundless, and liberating. So it's a different way of looking at things. The gateless barrier is us accepting what arises in our mind, what the conditions are, and then saying or knowing or accepting or even saying to yourself, this is possible, maybe, sort of, I don't know, but there's a possibility that there is a boundless, unlimited and liberating quality to what is going on right now in the middle of this pain. This is where we learn. This is the Dharma door. And it's not like everything is easy. It can be really difficult to do, but it is certainly a worthwhile effort. This is where the Buddha was pointing to, of liberation from our suffering. Not from our suffering, but it's almost liberation with our suffering. This is where the conversion happens, is in that moment that we all have that potential for right now. Thank you.